This is Conquering Columbus.
Hey everybody, Andy here, and you're listening to the Conquering Columbus podcast. On this episode, Mike is talking with Alexa Milkovich, COO of Driver. Driver is a personal driving service headquartered in Cleveland. And early on in the show, Mike asked Alexa how the company got started. And here she is talking about that.
The whole concept, and this was back in 2010, was created because while we were college students, we lived in the suburbs, we moved back from college, we lived with our parents, we wanted to go out for the evening, and literally formed this idea of going, it would just be so nice if I could hire somebody to drive my car, to take me around everywhere you want to go for an hourly rate. And so that's literally how the company idea was formed.
Later in the show, they spoke about how the company expanded quickly and what the early years were like with Driver.
When we started, it was just in Cleveland, Ohio. And so we're like, well, let's pilot here. But in order for us to launch business elsewhere, we didn't need to have a brick and mortar location. So we could really open up anywhere as long as we had drivers. So for the first couple of years, it was us just expanding to different cities and opening up business. And at the time, our model was, let's get everywhere, as many areas as we can open up business and open up shop, and then we'll just water those seeds as we plant them.
As the show winds down, Alexa spoke about some advice for people considering acting on a business idea.
I think that if anybody has an idea, because like you said, in the beginning, people kind of don't really realize what we do, and we have to educate. And there's some people that are like, well, I don't want anybody to drive my car. I don't really like that concept. And then you get the other person that's like, that's a great idea. I would totally let somebody drive my car. And so I think that when people just have ideas that some people might not like, but others like just go for it, right? Because you never know what can happen.
As always, we hope you enjoy this episode. And if you want to hear more interviews just like this one, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Thanks so much for tuning in. Let's get on with the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Conquering Columbus podcast. This is your co-host, Mike, here. I am flying solo today. Josh is out sick, so let's hope Josh feels better. But yeah, there you go. And, you know, but so you guys don't have to work through an awkward introduction while me and Josh try and talk to each other like we have never spoken before in our lives. So welcome to another episode. Joining us today on the show, we have Alexa Milkovich, and Alexa is the COO of Driver. Driver is the nation's largest personal driver service, currently operating in over 77 cities across 32 states. They provide access to your own personal driver. Think kind of like hiring your own designated driver for the night, and they will wait for you with the car. And maybe even bring it back or bring you back. And they can even use your car if you want them to. They also have many other services like personal drivers, non-emergency medical transportation, senior and elderly assistance, and corporate outsourcing, staffing, and fleet management. So I'm excited to be talking with Alexa today about Driver, her story, kind of how she got to where she is. Welcome to Conquering Columbus, Alexa.
Thank you, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, you guys aren't actually in Columbus. You're from Cleveland, right? You made the trip down from Cleveland.
Today. Yeah, I'm from the land up north there. Absolutely. But have big fan of Columbus, always came down here. I went to Kent State University, so I had a ton of friends. Actually went to Solon High School. And a ton of friends that went to Ohio State. So I was down here quite a bit. In my youth.
There you go. And you guys actually brought a driver down here today, part of your service, right? But we'll get into that in a little bit because I know we were just talking about that prior to the show. But one of the first places we like to start, Alexa, is just get a little bit of background on yourself, your story. You mentioned that you went to Kent State. Have you always lived in Ohio?
Yes, always lived in Ohio. I was actually born in Kansas City, Missouri, but moved here when I was a year old. So I like to say I'm Cleveland, almost born and raised.
Not a Chiefs fan though, right?
Well, you know,
we're going to have to cut the interview short if you tell me you're a Chiefs fan.
Okay, but we do have Kelsey, right? Travis Kelsey that went to Cincinnati. And he also went to Cleveland Heights, and that's where I currently live.
Okay.
So hi, Travis.
All right. Well, yeah, listening. Travis is definitely listening. Guarantee you he listens to Conquering Columbus. Sorry, I'm backtracking now. And so you get done with Kent State, get done with school.
Yep.
When do you get to Cleveland? What are you doing? Like, how do you get into, because we were talking earlier, right? And this isn't your first kind of start with the company. So talk to me about that.
Yeah, so I was actually employee number two at the company. And the company was originally called Be My DD, stood for Be My Designated Driver. The whole concept, and this was back in 2010, was created because while we were college students, we lived in the suburbs. We moved back from college. We lived with our parents. We wanted to go out for the evening and literally formed this idea of going, it would just be so nice if I could hire somebody to drive my car to take me around everywhere you want to go for an hourly rate. And so that's literally how the company idea was formed, just based off of a need from a couple of college kids that wanted to go out, and getting a taxi was really difficult. Uber at the time was just a pilot in California. So there was really nothing like this besides a taxi, you know, transportation besides a taxi in Cleveland. So that's how the concept was formed. And we actually have two main services that we provide. One is a personal driver for the whole evening, and the other one is a pickup service. So, Mike, if you drive somewhere and you're like, oh, I shouldn't be driving home, you can call us and we can send out a team of two drivers to that location, one to hop in and take you and your car home while the other one follows. So there's like a safety net service. But our most popular is our personal driver. That's the most convenient.
Yeah, it makes sense. And, you know, obviously Uber is probably a big competitor in terms of getting people services. But at the time, right, I remember being in college myself and maybe having a few too many to drink one night or two or however many weekends I was in college. And my buddy, you know, we didn't have, Uber wasn't quite popular yet. It wasn't happening yet. So he texted me and goes, call 444-444-444, which is the local taxi number. And it's so hard to get a taxi at the time. So it makes a lot of sense. How do you even go about starting that? Like in 2010, are you making a minimum viable product? Are you kind of like, hey, we're going to put together an app? Or is it just, we're going to put together a phone service, have people dial in and tell us they need a ride? What does that look like?
So at first it was just like an 877 number and a website. And you could call and you could book your driver from that standpoint. And then we eventually got an app, and now you're able to download driver on the app store and book a driver that way. You know, you'd mentioned something like Uber's a little bit of a competition, and in a way they are, but in a way they're not. Uber's great to take you from point A to point B, but how we differentiate ourselves is that you can actually reserve a driver and then request them again, and you can go multiple places, and our whole concept is we're driving your car. So as Uber, you get a driver, the driver's driving their own personal vehicle. You get in, you go somewhere, and then you never see them again. Whereas our driver will come to your home, they leave their vehicle there, and then they drive you in your own car anywhere you want to go. So a real life example is I went to the Lizzo concert in Cleveland, by the way, highly recommend, she was awesome. And I got the driver to come to my house. I went and picked up my sister-in-law. We went downtown for a drink. We went to a happy hour. We went to a different restaurant for dinner. Driver dropped us off at the concert. We had an incredible time, called the driver, hey, I'm coming out of this exit, pulled right up. And mind you, it's all in my own car. So I was able to go to multiple places like that. I had stuff in the car that, you know, a jacket and things like that, that you can't necessarily leave if you don't, you know, in an Uber, right?
Right.
Oh, and yeah, if I forget my phone in the car, guess whose car that is? It's my car. so now you're not like scrambling to try and find your car, but or your phone. But essentially, that is the main purpose of the drivers, just to have that luxury of a driver in your own car. And that's how we're affordable too.
Well, yeah, I was curious about that particular piece. So,
yeah.
Something you wanted to touch on?
Well, I was pointing because you were saying how, hey, it's $35 an hour. It seems a little pricey.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I was going next. It's like, you know, affordability, right? Like it seems like something that would be reserved for a more elite crowd, right? Oh, I'm getting a private driver, right? It sounds very, just the concept that when I first read about it, I was like, oh, that sounds like it would be expensive. So, but because it's your car, you're able to keep costs a little further down.
I mean, it's $35 an hour anywhere you want to go, multiple steps.
And one 15-minute Uber ride can cost $35 sometimes.
Exactly. And then again, you know, Columbus is big, right? I mean, you guys have a vast suburb, you guys have suburbs all around the city. So it's not always easy. And, you know, ever since COVID, a lot of people moved out of the city. Now they're really kind of far out there. If you live 30, 40 minutes away from downtown, you're more than likely spending, what, maybe $70 to $100 on an Uber there and back. It's the same for having a driver the entire night.
Right. And no waiting and
no waiting,
wondering what that crazy driver is going to be like when they pick you up in that Uber.
Exactly. If you don't like the bar that you are, you just tell your driver to come up, take you to another place.
Makes a lot of sense. I can see the benefit. So what I'm curious about is early on, you get this kind of concept going. You build a website and you do all these things. I have a feeling it might be difficult to convince people to let some stranger drive their car, especially when there aren't a lot of similar services out there yet. So what was those initial, like, was it a lot of educating clients? Was it a lot? How did you get those first customers and how did you get people to start really buying into this model?
Yeah. So there's a little bit of a learning process, right? Because people kind of just were like, well, I don't want anybody to drive my car really. But then they get a driver, they see the, they feel the convenience of that. And then they just, they love it. And the fact that they could reserve the same driver over and over again is awesome. Now you have your guy you go to every time you call, tell all of your friends and family, hey, call this guy, he's great, or gal, right? Whoever your driver is. But it's still, you know, a concept that people kind of are trying to grasp, right? You're have a driver driving your own vehicle. What is the point of having that? And I think that when you experience inconveniences for getting an Uber, especially out in the suburbs where maybe there's not always Ubers around, especially late at night or early in the morning or during the day for maybe a long commute, it can be very convenient, right? In that sense. And then, you know, we background check our drivers, right? We go through a pretty rigorous interview process. And so we have to kind of educate our clients and our customers, hey, these aren't just like some Joe Schmo we find off the street. You know, we interview them, we make sure they have experience. We have best practices that we put in place to make sure that there's guidelines our drivers follow. But the beauty is that the drivers want that relationship with the client. They too may have driven for Uber and Lyft in the past, and they don't like driving their own vehicle. Wear and tear on cars. I mean, I think now a lot of those drivers are experiencing what can happen to your car when you're driving it around that much. And so the fact that the drivers drive the client's car is just like a real nice perk for them. But they get to build that relationship with you. So that's really important for them as well.
Yeah. Obvious question. You pay for your own gas, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
As the customer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because it's your gas.
Right. It's your gas, your car.
Right.
And you're just hiring the driver's time. Interesting. Okay. Makes complete sense. So what did scaling start to look like? Because you were there for a 7-year period at the start.
Yep.
And then you went off, did some other stuff. We could talk a little bit about that, but I'm curious kind of like in those first 7 years, what did that look like? What were the biggest challenges, milestones? And how did you keep up with something like an Uber and Lyft and some of these other transportation apps that were coming out?
Yeah. So when we started, it was just in Cleveland, Ohio. And so we're like, well, let's pilot here. But in order for us to launch business elsewhere, we didn't need to have a brick and mortar location. So we could really open up anywhere as long as we had drivers. So for the first couple of years, it was us just expanding to city and to different cities and opening up business. And at the time, our model was, let's get everywhere, as many areas as we can open up business and open up shop, and then we'll just water those seeds as we plant them. So that was kind of our initial concept. And all we needed were drivers that passed a background check and interviewed to an availability, right, to have that happen. So it actually happened quite fast, how we scaled. And we came up with that concept because we wanted to be the biggest designated driver or personal driver company in the country.
So when we talk about that process and you ended up leaving, what can we dig into that? You open to talk about like what made you leave the first time, the only time.
Right.
And then what made you come back?
Yeah. So when I helped grow this company, like I wore every single type of hat you can imagine. Mm-hmm. So from customer service to driver recruitment to marketing to, you know, testing out our technology. So I touched every aspect of the business. And what I loved about our concept was that we were providing jobs, supplemental income for drivers. And at the same time, we were taking people who would have drove impaired otherwise off the road. And I love the idea of creating jobs and saving lives. That was like something I was very passionate about. So our whole goals were kind of working towards that. We had corporate accounts with large alcohol distributors and things like that nationwide. And so it was just really fun and exciting. Where our ownership at the time wanted to head was more into driver staffing. And for me, because I talked to so many drivers and I knew what our drivers were passionate about, which is being that kind of personal chauffeur, it didn't really translate to driver staffing. So to get a car from point A to point B, but that's where the ownership at the time really wanted to head, was more of the driver staffing route. And I just lost my kind of zest for that and flair for that vision. And so it just kind of came to a mutual agreement that, hey, I'm not really into the company and the path, been doing it for 7 years, got it to a really great point. I'm going to go try and do something a little different. That's what I did. So I left, became a headhunter for 3 years at a small boutique recruiting firm, specifically within healthcare technology. Mm-hmm. Love that. And then actually left there to sell technology for a global HR company. And so I did that for 3 years. I loved being in sales. I loved my team. But then the ownership of, there was kind of new ownership in the company over mm-hmm. time. They kind of came in, looked under the hood, no pun intended. And they made some changes with who was managing the company and running the company. And so they kind of recruited me to come back and run the company. And at the time it was, you know, I know that you're about living kind of uncomfortably, right? Mm-hmm. That was a really uncomfortable moment because sure. I was like, I have this beautiful job right at this corporate company. I love who I work with. I love my management. I was doing very well. But when you're tapped on the shoulder by your investors and leadership to kind of come in and revamp things. Mm-hmm. And this was something I was so passionate about. I live, breathe, eat, blood, sweat, and tears, you know, driver for so long that it was one of those things where it's like, I'm 36. Why not go in and see what I can do and see where we can take this company? And what was nice is that I had a few of the investors as kind of just someone to lean on to help guide and give direction.
Yeah, that mentorship can really help, you know, especially from people you trust. But what I'm curious about is you go off, you do sales, you do headhunting. What have you taken from those two experiences that you've been able to use in your new role?
I would say people's behavior, right? You just learn why people make the decisions that they're making, what drives them, what they're passionate about. You know, sales and when you're selling software, it's kind of black and white, right? You get what your product is, point blank. But when you're selling people, which is what recruiting is, not to get off on a different topic of selling, but at any rate, when you're selling people, you really understand people's behavior and what they're passionate about. And then, so I think that that concept, as well as just sales in general, really helped kind of prepare me, especially selling software and having, mm-hmm. you know, just so many people that you have to kind of keep track of and managing your business, right? Really related to this. Not to mention the experience that I had for 6 years at the company, I kind of understood, you know, what the call center reps would experience. And I understand how our app works. And I understand how clients and consumers are still kind of, you know, confused a little bit. Oh, they're driving my car. And there's a little education piece behind that you have to, you know, when somebody calls in, our reps need to be prepared to dig into that mm-hmm. and try to solve, you know, whatever issue client might have. Oh, I need a driver. And they're trying to fit how we can work together. And just so there's that quality piece. And that's something in sales where if you're not listening to your clients, right, you're going to totally miss their problem. So it's making, I think that those two things played into that.
Yeah, makes complete sense. So as you're looking at the team today, right, you're in over 38 states, I believe?
32 states, 77 cities.
32 states, 77 cities. That's pretty wide range to be operating on a daily basis. What are the big initiatives you're working on right now? What are the things you're excited about with Driver?
So we're excited about marketing because that's what we're really starting, right? So for the past since November, been lifting the hood, kind of improving processes and things like that. And now we are in a good position to really start marketing. So that to me is exciting because there's just so many reasons that people could that need a driver, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's going out for an evening, yes, that's kind of how it was the foundation. But business commutes, you have to go from Cleveland to Columbus or Columbus to Cincinnati. Most cars have Wi-Fi now. You can work in your car and have that luxury. People have to move across the country. They can get a driver to drive their vehicle. They don't have to pay for that shipment anymore. You have to go to a doctor's appointment. You don't have any family local. Or your grandma needs to go and get her hair done and go to the movies with a friend and, you know, then go somewhere else, right? And so it just makes people have just much more accessibility from a transportation standpoint. And I think that from a marketing standpoint, what I'm excited about is sharing that, sharing all the different ways you could reserve a driver or need a driver for.
I just had a thought, just you talking through that. And I'm like, man, wouldn't it be nice every time I go to the airport for business? Because I'm there for if I go now, I drive my car, I park it. I park for 5 days. It cost me $110 in parking. But I do that because if I order an Uber, I don't know if they're going to be able to fit my luggage in the back of their trunk. And it's almost going to cost me the same thing anyways. And then I got to wait for the Uber when I get back. So I could use Driver to take me to the airport, take my car even back to my house and park it there. And then I know my car's at my house and then schedule the return trip and have them pick me up in my car.
People you do that all the time actually request that.
Yeah.
And then the driver just leaves the key with whomever, right? Maybe mm-hmm. it's in your mailbox, your neighbor gets it, or your family member gets it. Mm-hmm. Just kind of depends on whatever instructions, you know, you give them. But yeah.
Makes sense. Yeah, I can definitely see the value in it and just the ease, right? Yeah. The ease of access. What do you do if you don't have a car?
Well, you could always rent a vehicle and our drivers could drive that.
Makes sense.
Hey, everybody, Mike here. We're going to take a quick break to talk about one of our sponsors, One Columbus. And we are very excited to partner with One Columbus. They really, really share the same vision as us here at the Conquering Columbus podcast, which is really building up the Columbus region to be one of the most prosperous regions in the United States. And One Columbus serves as the business location resource for companies across Central Ohio and around the world as those companies grow, innovate, and compete within the global economy. And they help us lead a regional growth strategy that develops and attracts the world's most competitive companies, grows a highly adaptive workforce, and prepares our communities for the future, inspiring innovation across the board. Their mission really is just ensuring the Columbus region is a vibrant place to build businesses and careers. So again, we really appreciate all of their support. You want to learn more about them, go check out their website, columbusregion.com. That's columbusregion.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be right back into the episode.
What about the long-term plan for the company, right? So obviously you were brought back in by what sounds like new ownership. So I have an idea that they're probably looking for either, just like any business, some type of exit, some type of transition, or an IPO or something, right? At some point, what are the long-term goals for the company? And how are you thinking about that strategically?
Yeah. And I don't think any of those options are off the table. I mm-hmm. think that we're willing to entertain anything, but our goal is to scale, right? Mm-hmm. And to make sure that we are watering all those plants, those 77 plants that we've planted, right? Or seeds that we've planted over time. You know, it's can evolve to so much. We could eventually, you know, once we start really cooking it in cities, we could get driver ambassadors and then we could have people kind of own that city, if you will. And we could expand, you know, and there's just a lot of different ways that we can go within the city and really expand, you know, our services and who uses us. Because there's a whole other arm of driver, not just from a B to C, like a business to consumer standpoint, but a B2B standpoint where, for example, bars and restaurants, right? You have bar and restaurant owners, they're serving alcohol, people leave there, they get pulled over, the bar can get in, or the restaurant can get in trouble or fined because they overserved. Well, we work with them where they can reserve teams of drivers towards the end of the night for their busy hours. And they can shuttle anybody in their cars back home or any clients in their cars back home. So now they're offering a service for their patrons that mm-hmm. I'm sure would be really welcomed at that time. And people can come back, especially if they know that that's something that they can rely on, you know, at that location. So there's all these other arms. We work with auto dealerships that they have valet services. So you have a nice car, but mm-hmm. if you have a car that needs to be serviced, oil changed, maybe tires rotated, but you're a busy man, you're traveling, you've got a lot going on. You don't want to take the time to go take your car in and sit there. So they have literally our drivers come and get your car and take it to get serviced and then take it back whenever it's done.
I'm getting my car serviced on Thursday.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just like the convenience of that, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's all these little arms that we can kind of go into. So I'm just excited about the potential, right? When we start marketing and explaining our story, mm-hmm. the future that of all these different avenues that we can kind of go in and obviously going in with, you know, calculated and strategically, but we're going to be revamping our technology as well. So our app's going to be redone as well as our backend technology, which is exciting for us.
Yeah. So is there concern? Because there's a lot of things there, right? There's a lot of different directions you could go. Is there concern about focus?
No, there's not really a concern about focus because we'll kind of tackle them strategically. Mm-hmm. But there's just, we get a lot of inquiries, right, from our clients. And it's our clients that are giving us these ideas, which mm-hmm. is exciting. They're like, oh, I want to use this for that. Or I want, you know, can we be used for this? And so we see that and we're like, wow, this is a really big need. We should try to tackle that. So there's a little bit of, you know, we have to just go about things the right way because we don't want to spin our wheels. But the potential is all there, which is really exciting.
Yeah. What do you think the biggest challenge will be? What do you think the biggest limiting factor will be when it comes to scaling?
Yeah. So I think always is getting drivers, right? And just getting their availability and keeping them busy. It's every kind of company's supply and demand delicate tightrope that you have to walk. And so that was kind of a challenge when I was brought on board is, you know, looking at our data and where our drivers are and where we're missing orders because we didn't have enough drivers. And kind of just making sure that we're putting those efforts and spreading the love equally amongst our cities, right? And mm-hmm. so with that is just, we have a great director of driver development we brought on board. And so he's done a phenomenal job of making sure that each one of our cities is addressed and appreciated. Yeah, I'm looking at...
Sherry's here.
Yeah, Sherry's
here. You guys can't hear her. Sherry's
here. Our social and media marketing manager.
But I think
manager.
She was trying to make a sign.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't understand it.
Our amazing director of driver development is Sherry's husband.
Ah.
There we go.
Now it
so
makes
she's
sense.
Biased.
I get it all.
Of course.
But, I get it all.
Yeah.
So she thinks he's terrible.
The cat's meow. She thinks you're the cat's meow, Kenny.
Yeah, there you go. shout out to Kenny. So I think that's a good place to kind of head towards some of our last questions of the show,
yeah.
Alexa. And in one of the first places I'd like to start is just talking a little bit about what being in Ohio and being in Cleveland in particular has been like for the business. Help, hurt, what are the pros, cons? Why not be in New York or San Francisco or, you know, all the other big startup cities that people like to talk about?
Well, we do operate in New York and San Francisco and California. We started in Cleveland because, well, that's where we were. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Cleveland's a great market because we've got a blue-collared market, right? And you also have your pockets of people that are wealthy, mm-hmm. right? But it's also a city that doesn't really have that great of public transportation. It's not that easy to get around, especially for those in the suburbs. So where we do really well are in those locations that just have like a sprawling city, not really good public transportation. Actually, one of our more popular cities is New York. Mm. And that's really because it's more of the suburbs out mm-hmm. outside of New York. But another popular city is San Francisco. And so now I'm like kind of talking outside of both sides of my mouth because both those locations have great public transportations, but it's the suburbs that that suffer. And so that's why we do well. It's those people that essentially the fun out of driving is gone in those right. locations, right? It's a pain in the ass to get around anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Takes a long time. And you're losing lots of time throughout the day just driving. So if you had a driver, you could be so much more productive.
Sure. And the amount of times I wished I could do work while I was driving is enormous.
Right. In fact, I would not be able to do this today if I didn't have a driver. I had meetings back to back. Mm-hmm. I shoved in a doctor's appointment before I came here because I was feeling real, you know, just crossing off all the to-dos. but, you know, knowing that I had 4 hours to, mm-hmm. you know, commute down here and commute back, but I was like, oh, I'll get just so much done in the car. And we did. We had meetings in the car and we crossed off a bunch of things and we'll do it on the way back. But that was like comforting knowing that I wasn't going to end my day going, oh, I just didn't finish all the stuff that I needed to do because I had the time to do it.
Right. Yeah, makes complete sense. And the next question I have for you, do you have any advice for our listeners?
Yeah, I think one of the things you guys always talk about is, hey, do something that makes you uncomfortable, right? Mm-hmm. And one, I think that if anybody has an idea, because like you said, in the beginning, people kind of don't really realize what we do and we have to educate. And there's some people that are like, well, I don't want anybody to drive my car. I don't really like that concept. And then you get the other person that's like, that's a great idea. I would totally let somebody drive my car. And so I think that when people just have ideas that some people might not like, but others like just go for it, right? Because mm-hmm. you never know what can happen. And also from a personal standpoint, someone taps you on the shoulder to take a risk and to do something you're passionate about. You only live once, so just do it. It'll be fun.
Love that advice. And you kind of beat me to it, but our last question centers around the theme here on Conquering Columbus, which is live uncomfortably. So when you think about that phrase, how does it apply to your life and career?
Well, it's kind of crazy how things can kind of come back full circle, right? I helped build this company. I left it. It was kind of like a little piece of me, you know, gone. And it just funny how things kind of come back and are presented to you again. And you're left with these moments and opportunities in your life. And you're like, you know, weighing pros and cons. But what I always kind of listened to was that gut and that passion that I had from a career standpoint, right? It's just like, rip off the Band-Aid. You've got nothing to lose. There's always going to be a sales job.
Hey, now. I think that was a jab. Are we ending this with a jab? Is that how we're doing this?
No, we don't need to do that.
We're going to take a jab at the sales guy?
There's always going to be something for you, so you got to do something really cool. But yeah.
Love it. Love it. Alexa, it's been great talking with you, and really appreciate you taking the time to tell your story and talk about Driver here on the show.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and Conquerors, thanks so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed that interview, you want to hear more just like them, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast app you are listening on. It'll make sure you never miss an episode from us. And if you want to learn more about Driver, head on over to
Driver.com, Driver.com.
There you go. And again, thanks so much for all your support. We'll talk to you next week.